Prayer. Luke chapter 5, verse 16. But Jesus often withdrew to lonely places. One version says, into the wilderness. Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. His culture, his society was very reactive. They were very combative. There was a spirit of anxiety, of anger and fear in the air all around from Jerusalem to Rome. Roman soldiers walking up and down the street. The Jewish people fighting back against these Romans, these zealots. So there was always everybody was on edge. I don't know if you felt anybody in America on edge the past couple of weeks, but it's been on edge. How did Jesus deal with being on edge, that on edge society? Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. He went off to pray. He went off to contemplate. He went off to be with his Father so he would not be influenced by the world, influenced by society. And that's what I want us to do. I want us to be people who contemplate, who pray, become a contemplative people and not a reactive, on-edge, anxious people. The man who pastors me taught me this prayer, and I wanted to teach it to you. I've taught, the time we had our class, I taught you something like this, and I'm going to teach it to us again because I believe we have to learn how to pray well. So number one, if you are going to be properly formed as a human being, you must learn to pray well. If you are going to be properly formed as a human being, you must learn to pray well. I believe that. Now, the primary purpose of prayer is not to get God to do what we think he should do. And a lot of people think that's what prayer is about, to get God to do stuff. The primary purpose of prayer is to be properly formed in the image of Christ. Prayer is not a means of controlling God. Sometimes we come to prayer that way, get God to do something. I have wants and desires, and God is all powerful, so I will tell him what I want him to do. See, you are what you pray. When it comes to your spiritual life, when it comes to spiritual formation, God will use those prayers to form you. That's where you'll meet with him when you go off to those lonely places and pray. I hope one of my functions as a pastor and one of the functions of Living Hope Assembly of God is to guide us into proper spiritual formation. In fact, I think that's my main calling as a pastor. There are other people who have different callings as a pastor to lead in this direction or lead in that direction or build this or build that. But I think one of my main functions is to lead us into proper spiritual formation is what I hope to do. So what does that look like? Number two, in the age we live in, I believe it will be stopping combativeness by contemplative prayer. Stopping combativeness by contemplative prayer. It was combative attitude during the life of Jesus, and I believe that combative attitude is alive and well, that spirit is alive and well in the world today. It may be the greatest need of the body of Christ in America today is discover how to be contemplative. If you don't know what that words mean, we'll just say to go off in those lonely places and learn how to pray well. If we're going to overcome this anger, this combative society, we're going to have to learn how to pray well. It will settle our reactiveness. We have a reactive society. We have 24-hour news and social media is instant. You can get your thoughts out there, react to everything instantly. Don't have to think about it, don't have to read up on it, don't have to study up on it. We just react. And when we react, the next person reacts. When the next person reacts, the next person reacts. And then you go into that pit of the social media information page. If we don't learn how to be contemplative, go to those lonely places and learn how to pray well, we'll have no answers for this society. And we may not, the church may not have be able to justify our presence because we have nothing to offer. Jesus had something to offer. The Son of God had something to offer because he went off to those lonely places and learned how to pray well. He prayed well. If Jesus had to do it, how much more so do we? And I gave you that book tonight, I heard somebody say. That's a liturgy. And we're going to go through that liturgy here in a few moments. And this type of liturgy that I've given you tonight will help us to go into those lonely places, become contemplative, and pray well. Now, when I say the word liturgy, we're Assemblies of God. And we may be unfamiliar with liturgy. I know some of you grew up in Christian Reform and things of that nature. You're very familiar with liturgy. I'm not telling you anything you don't know. But Assembly of God, we are unfamiliar with liturgy and maybe even very suspect. Oh, liturgy, get out of here. I don't want anything to do with that. And I'm with you because 5 years ago, I didn't know the word. I didn't really know what it was. Had no idea what it was. It is a Bible word. Did you know that? Liturgy is a Bible word. It is a Greek word, liturgio, and we've anglicized it, and it's the word liturgy. Liturgio, when the English translators translate it, they will usually put the word ministry or worship. So it's ministry or worship in our English translation. It literally means the work of the people, the worship of the people, the ministry of the people, the work of the people. It is what we do. Liturgy, if you want to bottom line it, liturgy is what we do when we pray. It is our structure of prayer. And some will say, well, I don't like liturgy because it's dead. Well, that's really a false category. Liturgy is either true or false, not dead. What is alive or dead is the person that's praying. The liturgy is either true or false. So if we get a true liturgy, a structure of prayer prayed by a live person, we have a framework for good spiritual formation. Jesus gave a liturgy. He told his disciples, when you pray, pray this way, our Father, which art in heaven. That is a structure of prayer. That is the work of the people, the Son of Man giving the work to the people. That was a structure to prayer. Now you can pray that liturgy as a dead person and you will remain dead, spiritually dead, and just say the words. But it is true, and we can pray it as a live people, and it forms us properly. Number three, everyone who prays has a liturgy. Everyone. The CRC, the Assemblies of God, the Catholic, the Anglican, Presbyterian, on and on and on. Everyone who prays has a liturgy. You just didn't know it, or maybe you did, or maybe you didn't know it. I could listen to you pray for a week. You could just pray how you normally pray for a week, and I could start taking notes. And at the end of the week, I'd say, here's how you pray. You pray the same way over and over again. Here's your liturgy. You didn't even know you were doing it, but I guarantee you, if you've listened to yourself for a week, you say, oh, I do that. I do say that. Oh, that's one of my main phrases that I say. So every person here has a liturgy. I can listen to you and say, well, your liturgy's not too good. You need a better one. You need a good one. Or I could listen to your liturgy is good, but it could use some improvements in this area, and I could give you this. Now, this liturgy that I've given you tonight, these are time-tested prayers. Mainly, they're scriptures. They've been shaped for centuries by different branches of the church. They help us get out of our own biases when we pray. They help us get out of bad praying. Because if you're an angry person, you're going to pray angry prayers. If you're a greedy person, you'll pray greedy prayers. If you're an anxious person, you'll pray anxious prayers. If you're a self-involved person, you'll pray self-involved prayers. So these help us get out of our biases, out of our bad praying, because we need to entrust our souls to something wiser than we are ourselves. And that thing that is wiser is the scriptures and the church. And that's what liturgy is. It will be repetitious, but it is not vain reps. It helps to form us. You go to a gym and you get a trainer. You want to get in shape. Well, that trainer is going to give you reps. You do this exercise, you know, 4 sets of 10 over and over and over again. Well, those reps are not in vain. Those reps are to help form the muscles that you need. Well, some of this liturgy, you will say, well, it's just repetitious. It just seems like it's over and over again. Well, it's not vain. It helps to form us into who we were supposed to be. The Lord's Prayer, you'll pray that prayer hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of times, but it is a good rep. It builds the spiritual muscle that we need. And some people say, well, I want to pray spontaneous, and I want to be led by the Spirit, and I want to pray new every time. Okay, do that. But the thing is, we don't, at least judging from what I've seen. We will pray what comes natural to us, and we end up praying the same things over and over again in our attempts to be spontaneous and follow the Spirit. So what I've given you tonight is train tracks, if you will, to help get your prayers rolling in the right direction. And we're going to walk through this very quickly, and then we're going to spend the last 10 minutes praying this. So I'm going to walk through it so you'll know what each thing is, and then we're going to pray it. It just starts with the address, whom you're addressing in your prayers, God the Father, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We move on to the confessions, confessing our sins to God. During these confessions, we'll pray much in the plural. Even though you're praying this by yourself, you're joining in to the body of Christ praying this. See, the problems we have with sin are not just our personal sins. They are our personal sins, but not just our personal sins. See, we've thought in the Western world very privately about salvation, very privately about sin. And yes, we have personal sins that we personally need forgiveness from and for, but we are implicated in a system of sin in this world, systematic sins, if you will. We are often implicated in systems and structures of sins that promote injustices and suffering around the world that we benefit from. So we say, forgive us of benefiting from these things that are hurting other people. We pray the Jesus Prayer. I pray the Jesus Prayer often. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Or Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me. It's a 4th century prayer. It's a long time ago. The desert mothers and the desert fathers who went out to the desert to separate themselves from the world, they came up with this prayer. It's basically the prayer that the tax collector prayed in Jesus' parable of the tax collector and the Pharisee. You pray the Psalm of the Day. You should pray the Psalm of the Day. If you don't hear anything else I say, you should pray the Psalm of the Day every day. Not legalistically. If you miss a day, start again the next day. But the Psalm of the Day, you should pray that. The Psalms are the cradle for Christian thought. And that baby grows up and matures in Christ. See, so much of what we understand about Christ has its origins in the Psalms. Jesus prayed the Psalms. Jesus lived the Psalms. So we pray the Psalms day by day, not to express what we feel, but to learn to feel what the Psalms express. And that's a good thing. We pray the Psalms every day not to express what we feel, but to learn to feel what the Psalms express. Nothing can be more healthy for our spiritual and emotional well-being than to express the whole range of human emotions that are found in the Psalms. And you pray whatever psalm of the day according to the year, day of the year. The day is the 25th of January, correct? So you pray Psalms 25 until you get to Psalms 150, and then you start back over. You just keep praying the psalms of the day. Don't read the psalms. Pray the psalms. If you're alone, sing the psalms. Chant the psalms. Just sing them out. Then we move on to the songs in the New Testament, the psalms of the New Testament, if you will. I have the Song of Simeon in there. That song will remind us that God alone is the judge, that Jesus is the judge. The doxology is in there. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. We pray this because we are reminding ourselves prayer is not an act, prayer is an act of worship, not a utility. Prayer is not something we use to get things done. A secular person could pray because they believe it works. They're accomplishing something. But prayer is not something that you keep in your tool shed. Well, I got to fix this. Let me go out to the tool shed and get the proper tool and pray. It is not secular, it's sacred. It's not useful like a tool, like a hammer. It is worship. Then we have the Song of Mary, the Magnificat, Mary's prayer from that poor, young, virgin girl, woman. That prayer is a revolution. If you pray that prayer, you'll see that God is up something in the world, that God's not going to serve national interests, that Christ came to rule the nations and to have the nations bow down before him. And if we pray that prayer quite often, that's going to form us and say, I got myself into something when I said yes to Jesus here. We pray the Lord's Prayer constantly because it's the very center and heart of spiritual formation. It's the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray. We pray the collects, maybe called. What is that? It's just a prayer of the week. It's a very good theologically crafted prayer. If you pray a theologically crafted prayer every day, that same prayer for a week, and then you do that for 52 weeks, that's a good base for having a good theology, a good knowledge of God, a good study of God. If you pray this prayer every day for a week, then 52 weeks, I'm guessing that will be better than reading a theology book. You will have a good theological foundation of who God is if you pray these good prayers that the church has formed over generations. Then we'll pray a global prayer tonight. We'll pray a local prayer globally for the world, locally for the people we know. We bathe the world globally and the world locally in our prayers because the world is bathing the world in everything else. And we're called to bathe the world in prayer. We are people of prayer. Then you have your personal prayers. You say, I want to be spontaneous, led by the Spirit. Okay, here you go. Here's your personal prayers. You pray whatever you want, as long as you want. You pray in the Spirit. You pray in tongues. You baptize it in the Holy Spirit. You pray for your family. You pray for anything that's on your heart, on your personal prayers. And then you sit with Jesus. Just in the evening, just for a minute or two, and just let Jesus speak to your soul. Let the peace of Christ replace the worries of the day. Receive the peace of Christ during this time. Now, we're not heard because of our many words. We know that. And I don't want you to think you're going to be heard because of these many words. But we will be properly formed. And we'll pray for mercy. We'll pray for mercy over and over again. We're going to believe God to form us as a God of mercy. Maybe the best thing you can pray for, the best thing that you can be formed by, is the knowledge that God is a God of mercy. Now, this may be clunky at first if you've never used this. It's like getting a new pair of shoes. First you go, I got a new pair of house shoes for Christmas. And I put them on. They were tight. I was like, I don't want these. They're tight. They were my size, but they were tight. Mike said, just give them a couple of days. I wanted to take them back. I'm like, I go get a bigger size. She said, just give them a couple of days. And now I've worn them a little while. Now they feel pretty good. They fit me just right now. This is going to feel maybe tight, maybe clunky at first. But it will become yours if you give it time. We should pray. I tell you to pray. Or pastors have told you to pray, or teachers have told you to pray. And then you go to pray and you go, oh Lord, help my wife and my husband, help my kids, help my grandkids. And what am I supposed to pray now? Help the church, help the preacher preach better. I'm exaggerating there, that's like that. But many people, they go to pray and they go, I don't know what to say. I don't know what to do. Do this. If you don't know what to do, do this. You can do this in about 10 minutes. We do this, why? Because we need a liturgy, a work of the people, a work formed by the scriptures and by the church, so we can pray well. The church has helped us, and the scriptures have helped us. So I want to conclude tonight by praying this. By praying the evening prayer. It's going to take us about 10 minutes or so. We're just going to go through this. If you want to go through it with me, if you want to just close your eyes and listen to me, if you want to read through it, if you want to whisper it yourself, you can. So let's pray. Thank you, Lord. Father God, creator of heaven and earth, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, God of Israel, God and Father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, true and living God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, have mercy and hear our prayer. O Lord, open our lips, and our mouth shall proclaim your praise. O God, make speed to save us. O Lord, make haste to help us. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever, world without end. Amen. Hallelujah. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry. We humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we might delight in your will and walk in your ways. To the glory of your name, amen. Hallelujah. Lord, your word says in Psalms 25, in you, Lord my God, I put my trust. I trust in you, O Lord. Do not let me be put to shame, nor let my enemies triumph over me. No one who hopes in you will ever be put to shame. We believe that, Father. But shame will come on those who are treacherous without cause. Show me your ways, Lord. Teach me your paths. Guide me in your truth and teach me. For you are God, my Savior, and my hope is in you all day long. Remember, Lord, your great mercy and love, for they are from old. Do not remember the sins of my youth and my rebellious ways. According to your love, remember me, for you, Lord, are good. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore, he instructs sinners in his ways. He guides the humble in what is right and teaches them his way. All the ways of the Lord are loving and faithful toward those who keep the demands of his covenant. For the sake of your name, Lord, forgive my iniquity, though it is great. Who then are those who fear the Lord? Who will instruct them in the ways they should choose? They will spend their days in prosperity, and their descendants will inherit the land. The Lord confides in those who fear him. He marks his covenant known. He makes his covenant known to them. My eyes are ever on the Lord, for only he will release my feet from the snare. Turn to me and be gracious to me, for I am lonely and afflicted. Relieve the troubles of my heart and free me from my anguish. Look on my affliction and my distress and take away all my sins. See how numerous are my enemies and how fiercely they hate me. Guard my life and rescue me. Do not let me be put to shame, for I take refuge in you. My integrity and uprightness protect me, because my hope, Lord, is in you. Deliver Israel, O God, from all their troubles. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me. Lord, now set your servant free to go in peace as you have promised. For these eyes of mine have seen the Savior, prepared for all the world to see, a light to lighten all the Gentiles, and the glory of your people Israel. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forever. World without end, amen. Hallelujah. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above, ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me. My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. For he has looked with favor upon his holy servant. Behold, from now on all ages will call me blessed. The Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name. His mercy is from age to age to those who fear him. He has shown might with his arm, dispersed the arrogant of mind and heart. He has thrown down the rulers from their thrones, but lifted up the lowly. The hungry he has filled with good things, the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped Israel, his servant, remembering his mercy. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Give us grace, O Lord, to answer readily the call of our Savior Jesus Christ, and proclaim to all people the good news of his salvation, that we and the whole world may perceive the glory of his marvelous works, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever. Amen. Hallelujah. O God and Father of all, whom the whole heavens adore, let the whole earth also worship you. All nations obey you, all tongues confess and bless you, and men everywhere serve you in peace. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, amen. Keep watch, dear Lord, with those who work or watch or weep this night, and give your angels charge over those who sleep. Tend the sick, Lord Christ. Give rest to the weary. Bless the dying. Soothe the suffering, pity the afflicted, shield the joyous, and all for your love's sake. Amen. O God, we ask that you would teach us to pray. Help us to be a praying people, not a reactive people, not a raging people, not an angry people, not an anxious people, but a praying people. Send the Holy Spirit. May the Holy Spirit be to us the spirit of prayer. For indeed we pray that we might be formed more and more into Christ's likeness. In Jesus' name. Now we all just take a moment tonight to pray our personal prayers, O God. Watch over my wife. Watch over my daughter, O God. Watch over my mother 900 miles away. Care for her. Care for my stepfather, O and O Lord Jesus. My sister and brother-in-law moving to a new home. Give them strength, O God. My right foot has been hurting. I ask that you would help me heal me, O Lord Jesus. We trust and we hope in you. And now just for a moment, we sit quietly with Jesus. We ask that the peace of Christ would replace any anxiety in our life. Thank you, Lord. Lord, have mercy. 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 Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. I hope that helps you. If you don't like it, that's okay. You don't have to use it. I just thought it would be a helpful something you can use every day. The only thing that you would change is the psalm of the day. The prayer of the week, you can find those online. Just type in prayer of the week. They will come up. You can go and I recommend Phyllis Tickle's The Divine Hours. I've recommended that several times. It gives you the prayer of the week, the collect of the week. That you pray. If you so choose, it just helps you. It's just a tool. You say, I don't want to do that. Okay. I just wanted to help. It's helped me, especially over the last 3 years. This has been one of the main ways I pray. Pray in the Spirit. Say, we're Pentecostal. Yeah, go ahead. Get through saying the prayer of the week that's been written by Anglicans and Orthodox, and then speak in tongues over it. That's fine with me. It would scare them to death if you did it in front of them, but you don't have to do it in front of them. Heavenly Father, just bless your people. Make your face shine upon them. Be gracious to them and give every person here peace. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Amen.